apologise for my voice. I'll try and speak clearly, but you might have to listen more carefully this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. Dear Father, we thank you for just the wonderful opportunity and privilege of being together and to hear your word as you speak to us. Lord, give us hearts to seek after you, seek after truth, and hearts that will hold fast and stand fast. We pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. Well, as we've been, Nathan's been praying, and of course there's much happening in this world which can cause us to be greatly concerned and anxious and even fearful. Our nation rapidly shifting away from the truth of the Word of God, calling good evil and evil good, and making legislation the same manner. And of course, we're reminded of things like the Queensland Police report, where all those who now hold to the pre-millennial return of Christ are dangerous people. And so we see and sense of this great opposition to truth in our own land. World powers and financial controllers seizing power over and ownership of all people and matter. And we don't remind of the pandemic of COVID, which somehow accidentally leaked from a lab and changed the whole world into a subdued and controlled mass of plebs, really. We may well ask, why did this virus even exist? And we see much wickedness about us. The war of Russia seeking to overrun Ukraine, going on for over a year whilst the world stands by and observes as thousands are murdered and millions, including young children and so on, suffer terribly, their lives and being destroyed. Thank you very much. Whilst wickedness seems to have accelerated in these times, the truth has always been under attack by the enemy. Even as far back as the Garden of Eden, we know when Satan sought to cast doubt on the truth. And we know that men and women and children were murdered by church leaders for their stand for truth during the Reformation period. David in his time wrote of the wicked who surrounded him with their hate. Psalm 109 verse 2, "For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for love." Note what David said in the midst of all this hate being against him. He says, "But I give myself under prayer." Paul, in writing the church of Philippi, exhorts them with the saying. He says in Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Wonderful exhortation, wonderful promise. David in Psalm 38 sees the strength of the opposition and that they increase in number. Psalm 38 verse 19, he says, "But mine enemies are lively and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is." David rightly sees those who oppose good and hate him wrongfully as his adversaries, and they who have opposed God. And so David again turns to praying to God. He says in verse 21, just a little bit, the next verse, "Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." So the opposition's always been there, and the battle has always been raging. And all those in Christ are involved in this battle. We as a church have been increasing awareness, I think, of the gulf that has developed between the direction of this world and the Word of God, and to become aware of the strength and increase of our adversaries. So we too must turn to God for Him. That's what we need to do. He is our hope. He is our assurance. Remember, after crossing the Red Sea and witnessing God's mighty might against the Egyptian army, Israel declared, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God." You know, God's word stands forever, and those who oppose God will fail and fall. Isaiah 5:20 says, this verse we're very familiar with, but what it goes on to say is a great encouragement to us. "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And is not our own government, our lawmakers, doing that very thing? "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel." There is an accountability. There is a time coming when those who have called good evil and evil good will give account. And I like that little expression where he says, "Their root shall be as rottenness." You know, as soon as a tree or a plant or anything has a rotten root, it's finished. And that's exactly what's going to happen. However, it is for us to hold fast to truth and stand firm upon God's word. So I want to take us to Psalm 27 this morning, and just looking at the first three verses of Psalm 27. And I've taken a title out of the first verse: "Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?" Verses 1 to 3. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." And he goes on to say, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Well, David twice makes a statement and ends each one with a question. Each question is very similar. He says, "Whom shall I fear, and of whom shall I be afraid?" And we think about this concept of fear. An English philosopher, Francis Bacon, way back in 1623, said, "Nothing is terrible except fear itself." A couple of hundred years later, Henry David Thoreau, an American and essayist, poet, and naturalist, in the mid-1800s, said, "Nothing is so much to be feared as fear." And we know that President Franklin Roosevelt, in his inaugural address, on March 4th, 1933, he addressed the nation in a terrifying grip of an economic depression. However, he did not consider their financial state to be the greatest problem, but rather the presence of fear, and hence this one sentence out of his speech: "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And we've seen how this world has been thrown into and controlled by fear. As God's people, we also need to address the very real fears which can grip us and rob us of our peace. Fear is not peculiar to us or this generation, but has been very real to all mankind down through the generations, and God's people are not exempt. Fear can either move us to a greater trust and expectation of God, or it can debilitate our spiritual walk. Numerous times, God spoke to his people, assuring them, by his fear nots. All those wonderful fear nots in Scripture. Abraham, that man of great faith, had to be reassured after he had fought the four kings and rescued Lot. And you remember, and he possibly feared the retribution of those kings. And it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God hasn't changed. God is our shield and our exceeding great reward. Isaac, after his dispute over the water wells with the men of Gerar, and having been pushed out of the land, he's assured by God. But God said to him, the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I'll bless thee. Jacob, in his decision to transfer to Egypt during a severe drought, was assured by God. God said to him, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Moses, when Og, the king of Bashan, and all his people came out against him, was assured by the Lord. He said, fear him not, for I have delivered him into thine hand. Joshua, when he responded to the call of help from the men of Gibeon, from the attack of the Amorites, was assured. The Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Yea, when Paul, travelling as a prisoner to Rome, found himself in the midst of a massive, exceeding storm, where exceedingly tossed with a tempest, we're told, in a ship, and in serious danger of sinking. He had good reason to be fearful. Nothing more fearful, in a sense, than a raging storm in the ocean. But God said to him, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Fear not, Paul. There are but a few, just a few examples where men of, or God's people face great opposition and the Lord assured them by his fear not. Good to look up the fear nots and chew them over. Invariably his exhortation included the assurance of his being with them and them being strengthened by him. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. We can easily be fearful. We can easily be dismayed as we look around and focus on those things happening. But God says, I'll strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yea, this fearing not was as much to do with their spiritual security as it was their physical well-being. The Lord assured his disciples in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yes, we are not to fear not man, but we are commanded to fear God. But that fear is not a terror, but a reverential awe. We've already been delivered from the fear of death. Hebrews 2:15 says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And need to be remind ourselves of God's word, where he says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So that spirit of fear is not from God. God has given us that. He's given us power and love and a sound mind. And we are not to fear that God will fail, for our soul is in his care. He's able to deliver us from any fear and to deliver us to our destination. And what's our destination? Eternal life with him. The reason David gave for his not needing to fear in his declaration, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He says there in verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. First we note that David declares the Lord is my light and my salvation. Personally, not just something that he knew about, but something that was his very own. Also, his light and salvation was present and continuous. It wasn't something he was hoping for in the future. It wasn't something he had at intermittent times. It was present and continuous. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God has given us knowledge of the light, and that light is Jesus Christ, through whom and in whom we have salvation. John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, to walk in darkness can be a very fearful thing. You don't know what's immediately in front of you. You don't know what's further up ahead. You're not even sure what's behind you. But we don't walk in darkness. We walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only the future for us, as I've trusted him as my Savior, I have the promise of his presence and love here and now. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." For he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, there may be times when we feel that's happening, but you know, God is sure to his promise. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We have no need to be fearful. And eternal life more abundantly is given to us here and now. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly." It's ours now and for eternity. "As for my past, I know I've been forgiven. God has removed my sin from his sight as far as the east is from the west. I know I've passed from death unto life, and I'm no longer under condemnation." What a wonderful position we are in. It's certainly not a position of fear, a position of great peace, really. The Lord found us in the dark. He opened our eyes, and he turned us from darkness to light. We're told that in Acts 26:18. "We were condemned. John 5:24 says, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." We pass from death unto life. We pass from condemnation to freedom. After we are saved, the Lord continues as our light. He's our joy. He's our comfort. He's our guide. He's our teacher. He's everything. He's our light in every possible way in our living. And so what is David saying? "Whom shall I fear?" Well, I have no one to fear, because the Lord is my light. He's the one who shows me the way. He's ever with me. It's impossible to walk in darkness when we turn away from the light of his word. It is possible for us to walk in darkness when we turn away from the light of his word. It's a danger. And that can be a fearful situation. Psalm 119:130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. He giveth understanding unto the simple." Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Yeah, so we need to walk in that light, and then we have no need to fear. Just by way of illustration, in 1997, that's some years ago now, Russian space station Mir became a byword for serious glitches. It had 11 gyroscopes, and in July 97, 5 of them malfunctioned, and the remaining 6 had to be shut off. And these gyroscopes kept the space station at the correct orientation to the light from the sun, and that was necessary for power generation. So whilst ever this failed, it was not in the light, and therefore had lost its power. It's good illustration that, you know, if we turn away from the light, we will lose that power in living for Christ. If we're not receiving the light of the Word of God, we too will lack power and become fearful. 2 Peter 1:19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do," excuse me, "you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." We are children of the light, therefore whom or what shall we fear? Another reason for our not being afraid is because God is our strength. We look back there in verse 1. And he says, "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom Of whom shall I be afraid? We're children of light, therefore whom or what shall we fear? Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? David did not boast his lack of fear because he trusted in his own strength. He experienced the strength of the Lord as opposed to the arm of flesh many times in his life. Remember the lion, the bear, Goliath, King Saul, Absalom, just to mention a few. Paul also spoke of this principle, 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We have no need to be afraid of whatsoever the enemy would bring against us, for it is in our weakness God's strength has liberty to work. And so we understand what David's saying here. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's not saying, you know, I'm strong and I'm capable and so on. No, no, he acknowledges his, in this very statement, his inability. But he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. And then we see in verse 2, we see wicked enemies. David spoke of the wicked as being his enemies and foes. These, of course, are just the front men for the true enemy, aren't they? Satan. And you know what? There's an abundance of these disciples of Satan in our day. When David's enemies advanced to the attack, leaping on him, and their intention was to devour him. And that is just what our enemy, the enemy of our soul, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, would seek to do with us. 1 Peter 5:8 is an important verse to grab hold of. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But just as Satan could do no more to Job than what God allowed him, so too he's limited by our omnipotent God in his attack on us. And therefore we need not be fearful. Even though the wicked would seek to eat up our flesh, we need not be fearful. But just as Satan was limited, so he is with us. David spoke not of himself causing the enemy to fall, but he said they stumbled and fell. Note there, where it says at the end of verse 2, they stumbled and fell. David didn't cause them to stumble. God's hand was upon them. They stumbled and fell. And then verse 3, we see confidence is the offspring of experience. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Here David is considering a future attack, but his confidence is sure because of his past experience in seeing the hand of the Lord deliver him time and again. And of course, things like we just mentioned, where he fought the lion and the bear and Goliath and so on. Hosts cannot hurt us if the Lord of hosts protects us. Psalm 3 verse 6, David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. And in Psalm 20 verse 6, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Good principles for us to remind ourselves of, that there are those who trust in chariots and we don't trust in the arm of flesh. It is God who will cause us to be able to rise and stand upright. David was a soldier in the physical and the spiritual sense. Though more than once he posed the question as to why the wicked appear to prosper, and we may well pose the same question if we look around us today, why the wicked prosper. But without exception, his conclusion was that the righteous God will do right, and he need not be troubled nor afraid. You know, in our conversation and even matters for prayer, we may well focus on the wickedness being so rampant about us and the seeming lack of opportunity for truth and righteous to prevail. And I mean, that verse comes to mind often, you know, truth is fallen in the streets, and so true today. And this is very evident in the choices we have at election time. Our choices between what? The ungodly and the more ungodly. Where's the choice? With a focus, we can easily lose the attention and direction God has for us, in that we are to be that light. We are to be that righteousness or that salt. And we are to be people who can say, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. And whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light, my salvation. We need to remind ourselves of the light and salt role we have. Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's a contrast, isn't it? From being fearful to standing boldly out, forthright. Let your light so shine before men. Stand fast for the truth. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The snare is to be entrapped by that fear, being rendered despairing and powerless. But it goes on to say, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The psalmist understood clearly the key to the matter. Psalm 119:110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Here's the key, isn't it? Or one of the keys. I erred not from thy precepts. You know, precepts is referring to the word of God, but specifically to the instructions from God, referring to the duties of those under his command. We are under his command. Let's not err from these commands, his directions. Did not err from thy precepts. We may not have to have the task of soldiering in defence of our nation, although that may well come about, mind it. But all who are Christ are soldiers of the cross. And we need not be fearful in the battle, no matter what our enemy may throw at us. For we are secure in our salvation. We have the truth as our light to live by, and we have all sufficient strength from our omnipotent God to stand in. And so when we look around and we're reminded of what's going on, the wickedness of this and that and so on, you know, our focus must come back to these very wonderful truths that David has written here in Psalm. Lord is my light and my salvation. He's the strength of my life. How will we live? Will we be overcome by the wickedness of man, and in so doing be rendered powerless? Or will we rise above wickedness, relying upon our Lord God? That's a challenge. There's a challenge of that. There's a challenge that we're not to be fearful. We have the answers. We are God's children. We have light. We have salvation. There's no reason for us to be fearful. We can stand fast, even though the enemy can often look huge. But remember, that may be a host, but the hosts of God are far greater. I go back to Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Great words of encouragement this morning, that we may not be a people fearful, but standing fast at peace in the strength and light of our Heavenly Father.